One.
You're listening to KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles, a public service of the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. Find us on Facebook at KRVS Public Media.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to The Exchange. This is Cheryl Castile, and I hope everyone had a wonderful Easter holiday weekend. My guest in the studio today has been playing music the majority of her life. I think people kind of pass over a certain age when that all of a sudden becomes a true statement. and has been involved in a variety of music. A lot of people know her from playing in the bands Bonsoir Catan, but she was her own band when she was quite young, Christy Guillory. And Christy is back on her own again with her own band, doing Christy Guillory and the Midtown Project. So welcome, Christy.
Hi. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you here today. I'm curious, putting out... And I don't know if you can remember back to when you put out your first CD that was based on you and your music.
Right.
And now, in between that CD and this CD, was it just CDs you put out with other bands?
Right.
So now we're back to you doing your own thing.
It's kind of full circle.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Differences? There's got to be differences.
There are definitely differences.
Because you were a teenager then, you are an adult woman now.
Yep.
What was this experience like for you doing this CD?
It was an absolute blast.
Yeah.
We went in I went in with no expectation.
Ah.
And I think it's the first time I've ever recorded like that.
Yeah. Did you have to make a conscious effort to do that?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, because, I mean, otherwise you'd like to be pretty hands-on and know where everything's going the next minute.
Exactly. Yeah. I went in with no expectation in terms of what the project itself would turn out to be.
Hmm.
I knew I wanted to lay some tracks down. I knew it was time.
Yeah.
I'd been writing for so long.
Yeah.
I mean, so long. At 13 years old, you know?
Yeah.
And I never had put out... or released any material like this.
Yeah.
You know, in English language sort of country rock stuff. And I just felt like it was time. I'd come to a point where it was something that, you know, it's time to share it. And so I went in to Chris Stafford's studio with really very little expectation of, you know, is it going to be a CD project? Is it a full-length album? I didn't know. I was just like, let's just start laying stuff down and see what happens.
Did you have all these songs written? No, it is. It's an eight-cut CD. Did you have all those written before you went in?
No, I did not. I had six of them written.
Okay.
And one of the tracks came later.
Okay.
Came later, yeah.
Now, when, because we should back up a minute.
Sure.
For folks who don't know about your history, but at 13 you started... really performing,
right?
And playing, and at that time doing French music, doing Cajun music.
Mm-hmm. I started playing Cajun music when I was 10, and I really got into the gigging aspect of it around 13.
Yeah,
and I started writing around that time too, English and Cajun music.
Now, how old were you when you started speaking French and learning French?
Around that age, too.
Around that age,
yeah.
Okay.
Because
that was, I mean, that was a time for a number of young people back then.
It was.
You know, really starting to get involved with the language and with the music.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your band at that time was you, I know Bill Grass was in the band.
Yeah. Yes.
And who else were the...
Oh, man. Horace Trahan was in that band.
That's right, Horace.
Horace Trowell.
Everybody was teenagers.
Yeah, Horace was at Karen Crow High School. Bill Grass from Baton Rouge was in that band.
And Bill was the fiddle player. Right? Yeah.
Okay. My brother Craig Guillory was on bass. An amazing drummer, Doug Bellode.
Oh, yeah, Doug Bellode. Yeah, that's right.
Bellode was in that band. Doug is one of the most sought after drummers. You know, now he's.
I mean, you know, when you think about that, I mean, what an all-star band then. I mean, because it definitely would be an all-star band today.
Right. Jamie Beerb was in that band.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, if we got back together for, like, a reunion, it would be crazy good. It'd be so fun.
That would be a neat thing to do.
Yeah, it would.
You know, because, you know, I think of, you think of the, of, and they're adults now, you know, like with the band Full Filet. You know, they were young when they started.
Right.
But you were in, you know, a whole different generation.
I was.
You know, from them.
Definitely.
You know, and there was a lot of young people at that point really starting to play. The encouragement that you were getting back then, was that coming from family? Was that coming from people involved in cultural programs, in the music?
Both. Yeah. Really both. Family especially, because, you know, I come from a musical family from my grandfather. And really just the community in general. I think they were really, really excited to see young people playing Cajun music.
Yeah.
And especially speaking French. And there was just a lot of excitement about that. I remember around that time, Roddy Romero was playing. Kyle Hebert had just started to play, and people were really, really excited about the fact that, you know, there's young kids that are picking up accordions and fiddles and playing music.
And I know you and I have talked about this before, but and I was selling music at that time. It was a big deal that there was a young woman fronting a band, that there was a female fronting, you know? I mean, because even adult women at that time, you didn't have a lot fronting bands, you know? I mean, of course, Cheryl, you know, was there and kind of, you know, set standard for a lot of people. But in terms of young people, you being a female, that was a big deal.
Yeah, it wasn't. You didn't see it. It wasn't really done.
Yeah, the accordion as your was that your first instrument back then,
or guitar?
Guitar was your first instrument.
Yeah. Picked up a guitar about 7 or 8.
Okay.
And played that. I always did musical things, though. I mean, even as a little kid, you know, singing or playing on a keyboard, or, you know, strumming a guitar. And but when I found the accordion, it was clear instantly that was going to be my instrument.
Really?
Yeah.
And how did you find it?
I found it. I had seen someone play an accordion. You know, my grandfather was friends with Oktah Clark.
And your grandfather's name?
Jesse Duyon. And they were in the Dixie Ramblers together.
Yeah.
And so I would, you know, I'd see Mr. Oktah play at festivals and whatnot, and I wanted one. I felt like I wanted to play one. And I remember my mom telling me, you know, she's like, well, I don't know. I mean, those are really expensive, and, the whole deal.
Yeah.
And I went to a crawfish boil one night, and a friend of hers had an accordion there, and I was able to actually get up close to one and pick it up and play on it.
So was that was the first time you ever actually held one?
Yeah, it's the first time I held one.
And it made sense?
It just did, yeah, it made sense. I kind of understood the in and out, push-pull.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's interesting how different people's brains work with that, because for a number of people to pick that instrument up, it doesn't make sense.
Right, I know.
You know, it's like, oh, my God, I mean, I can play this and this. I can't figure this instrument out, you know?
I could hear it. I could hear the tone of it. It's just everything about it made sense to me.
Then did you take lessons with anyone, or did you just teach yourself?
Not formally. There was a fireman that lived across the street from my mom and dad live in the Broadmoor subdivision, and there's a fire station across the street from their house, and there was a fireman, his name's Benny, and he works, you know, 7 on, 7 off.
Yeah.
He played accordion. So I'd go sit with him during the summertime.
Cool. Yeah.
Every once in a while, you know, he'd show me a song or two, and then after a couple months or a year, I think I had enough of a grasp of it that I could start learning on my own.
Yeah,
picking out tunes but I mean, I had practice with the guitar. You know, I was already playing by ear, with on the guitar.
Yeah, so you had that.
So yeah, I had, you know, I already had that.
Yeah, some musical
background.
Chops down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then with the French language entering that, were there classes where you were going to school?
Mm-hmm. I was in a bilingual program.
Okay.
At Edgar Martin Middle.
Okay.
They don't have that program anymore, but we would go. I'd have French for 3 hours a day.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when you started learning songs, did you go to some of the jam sessions that were around? Would you go sit in?
That's pretty much how I did learn.
Okay.
I went to Rex Champagne's. It was a jam session in Ridge.
Ah.
At a gas station.
Yeah. So, okay.
Of Champagne's.
Yeah.
That's really where I got my chops. I went there for a couple years until I think they stopped the jam and then the place burnt down. And
oh, and I didn't know that. Ah.
Yeah, it's gone now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, that was the place to jam. Aldous Roget would play there. And Dewey Balfour would play there. It's the first time I saw Christine.
Ah.
Was at Rex's. And,
yeah.
I mean, it was just fun and community and everybody hanging out and old people and young people, and it's really a great scene. So that's, I'm lucky that I got in right before it.
I got to be a part of that.
Yeah, history. Yeah. And I, you know, I'd go to jams. There's a place called the Friendly Inn.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's still around.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
you know, and you think about too in this area, if there weren't jam sessions, how many. What that would have done to so many people in
right.
their learning process, you know,
right.
or just being exposed to any of that, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, they're so important.
Yeah, and make it a very comfortable place for people to just kind of be.
Right.
You know, whether they come sit and listen for a while first and then
yeah.
kind of get your courage up. And
yeah. These types of jams were, they were different than what you see now. They were plugged in.
Yeah.
So you had a band on stage that would rotate.
Oh, interesting.
And you'd sign up, you know, you'd go and you get there early enough to put your name on a list.
Yeah.
And everybody got three songs. So if you were a fiddle player, you got three, accordion got three, and, you know, steel guitar would kind of stay. Everybody would
rotate.
So
it wasn't, a whole group of people sitting around playing.
No.
It was how interesting.
No, so you never really knew who you were going to be with. It was always a mashup.
Yeah.
And you were plugged in, and it was basically like you were playing a dance and you were leading a band.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, you learn really quick that way.
That's right. That's right.
Especially when there's, like, older musicians with you that are like, you know, somebody would request a song. I'm like, I don't know. And they're like, well, it goes like this.
Yeah.
I have to play it,
you know? To figure out how to do
it. Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It was wonderful.
Yeah, because that... I mean, I don't know of places now where you can really do that. You know, I mean, I know people that get together and do that at their homes
yeah.
and things like that. But
there
in terms
many.
Of a set.
There's a place around Mo, Touchettes, that you can do that.
See, now Roy Carrier used to do things similar to that
yeah.
at his place at the Offshore Lounge. You know, I mean, a lot of young musicians could kind of get their feet wet up on a stage and... You know, figure out what that was all about.
It was great.
Oh, that's cool, Christy. You know, and then when you got a little, when you were in college, is when you started doing some of the singer-songwriter, like performing with a guitar.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
What places were around at that time that you would play with?
The scene was great. We play at the Sidebar.
Ah.
We play, which is now Pooparts.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's been so many different things, but the Sidebar was a big venue. I mean, not big in terms of size, but a lot of people would pack into there. And there was a singer-songwriter kind of buzz happening in Lafayette for a little while. Place called the Jumping Fish, which is the filling station.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It used to be called... That's right. I forgot about
there.
That. Were you doing just solo?
Oh, yeah. Me and my brother would play back me up on bass sometimes. So
yeah.
It was just acoustic guitar and bass.
And were you doing covers or were you doing original stuff?
All original.
Ah.
3.5-hour sets. I would play at Cafe Cottage. I had a weekly gig at Cafe Cottage for $20 and a bar tab. I'd go to M's Cafe in Baton Rouge. It's a place in Lake Charles. Yeah, so, I mean, there was like a little circuit, you know, that I did for a couple years.
Oh, I'm curious, what happened to the original songs from then?
Some of them are still around.
Yeah.
You know, I've changed so much since then.
Yeah.
that it just, it didn't, you know, it just, it's not the same. It wouldn't feel the same delivering those, because, I mean, I was a 19-year-old.
Do you have recorded? I mean, just for your own sake at home?
I do. I have some on cassette tape.
And, oh, that's good.
You know, there's even a track on the Broken Glass record that is from that era.
Which one?
Easter.
Oh, Easter. That's right. Easter is from...
Yeah.
You know what, Cecil, we're going to pull that one up first, because that actually... I love that song.
Thanks. Yeah, that one got a completely new life. It's one of those... I mean, I always liked the song, but when I like to go back and... I'm really picky about lyrics, you know, and so when I went back to, like, sing these lyrics, I was like... not good enough.
They
weren't quite there then.
Yeah.
So I completely rewrote the song.
And there's been, I mean, a lot of life experience since then.
A lot of music experience and life experience and writing experience, you know, and so yeah, I mean, I'm actually glad that I didn't go and immediately cut a record when I was 19.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I'd be looking back at it going,
oh my God.
That was a little self-indulgent, wasn't it?
Yeah, but that's all right. People would say, she was 19, you know?
Exactly. Of course.
We're going to listen to that cut, and we're going to come back and talk some more about this CD. But this is from Christy's brand new CD, Broken Glass, of Christy Guillory and the Midtown Project, and this is the cut, Easter.
Rock.
By Friday, 3 days to recuperate from pleasure and the hate. Rolling sevens on my feet, a cigarette between my teeth. 40 days in the desert, I thought I could find my sweetheart in my love, why have you forsaken me? I should have known you just didn't care. These lines, this cross, all this love is shaking me, as if I didn't have a way. Just like it was yesterday. Sugar's too sweet, I ain't Messiah, and I've forgotten how to pray. My love, why have you forsaken me? I should have known you just in care. These lies, this cross, all this love is shaking me, as if I didn't have a resurrect by Friday, 3 days to recuperate from the pleasure and the hate. Rolling sandals on my feet, a cigarette between my teeth. 40 days in the desert, I thought I could find my sweetheart. My love, why have you forsaken me? I should have known you just to care. These lies, this cross, all this love is shaking me, as if I didn't have a we'll
I love that song. If you're just joining us, that was The Cut Easter, and my guest today is Christy Guillory, and that was off her new CD, Broken Glass. This is The Exchange. I should say it for like the 12th time. I absolutely love that song. It's got like this great energy. So let's talk about who's playing.
Sure.
On that. You know, you've got some players.
Oh, man, I do.
Let's talk about who's playing electric guitar first off.
That's the great Brian Marshall.
Yeah. And Brian has been, he's played around the area for a while.
I had known of Brian for several years. He was playing music around the same time that my brother Craig was playing music in high school, when he was in high school, in the early 90s. And Brian was one of those, you know, guitar players. He played with one of my favorite rock bands, Straw Boss.
Yeah.
He did some work with Mark Broussard, you know, more recently. But, he's phenomenal.
Yeah. You've got, who else do you have on this band? I mean, it's quite a lineup.
Yeah, I got Cal Stevenson on bass.
Cal's got to be one of the busiest musicians.
He's a busy guy. You know, Cal's busy because
he's good.
He's good. He is rock solid, reliable, and the energy that he brings to any project is
just
calm. And you know, Cal's got it. And Cal's actually the impetus for putting this thing together.
Ah.
He and I had been talking for probably a couple years.
Yeah.
You know, I should play this stuff. I should do it. And I'd always tell him, like, I should do it. And he's just kind of like, okay, you know what? Let's just do it. We're going to put a band together. And so Cal's on bass, Danny DeVillier on drums.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'd known Danny for a long time from the, you know, Lafayette music rock scene.
Yeah.
Back when I was in junior high, they were in high school. And of course, you know, just... Well, even more recently. And then after we made this project, Danny started playing drums with Bonsoir Quartet.
Yeah.
So that's the core.
Okay.
And also on the record, we have some great guests.
Yeah, so you've got Anya Burgess, Chris Segura, you've got Richard Como on steel guitar.
Yeah, Richard plays a few.
And then Rick Good on acoustic guitar, Sharon Leahy on vocals,
mm-hmm.
and Andrew Toops on keyboard. And then you've got some background singers with Emma Young and Callie Jones.
Yes, I do.
And then Chris Stafford makes an appearance.
Yep. And, so most of us, I'm taking most of them to Jazz Fest, so.
Now, what date are you playing there?
May 5th, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I was like, let's just have a big party.
Yeah.
With
the style of music that you're doing here, I'm curious because, like I said, a lot of people, when they think of you with Cajun music.
Yeah.
I mean, they just do. Has there ever been a time where you got just a bit burnt out with Cajun music?
Yes.
Yeah.
All the time.
And do you put it aside for a period of time and then come back?
I do. I always do set it down for a little bit. I don't get burnt out on the, I mean, the music is amazing, but I'm learning more that, I'm the kind of person that cycles through things. I'll get really into this, and then I'll need to kind of come back to it maybe a couple months later.
Yeah.
Just need some downtime from it. And there was definitely a period when I first started gigging with, you know, the more, this kind of music, I always called it American music.
Yeah.
I play Cajun music, and this is my English-American stuff.
Yeah.
When I first started playing that, I was kind of burned out on the Cajun scene. Because I was writing a lot. I was writing a lot in French. And it just wasn't clicking. It wasn't happening. And I didn't feel that the scene at the time was real supportive of new stuff or mm-hmm. innovative stuff. Mm-hmm. Or I mean, and that was probably just me, but that's kind of what I felt.
Yeah, this stuff happens, though.
Yeah. You know? So I dropped out for a long time, for about 8 years. I didn't play Cajun music.
Really? Was that that long?
Yeah.
Huh.
I did singer-songwriter for a while, you know. Back then, they called it singer-songwriter.
Sure,
then
that was the
name for it. And then, I went to graduate school and had family. And,
yeah, and life comes.
Life happens.
The rest of life comes in.
But
And I'm always curious about this, too. You now... Morgan, your daughter, she's, you said she's 11, 12?
Yeah, she's 11.
She's 11, okay. So you have been playing, you know, music, the, like we said, you started out young. Have you noticed a difference in how you approach music or how you write music from maybe prior to her being born or as she has gotten older?
Yeah. Before, you know, I had all those responsibilities, I could just write whenever I wanted to.
Yeah.
I could stay up all night, write a song, sleep the next day. It's not like that anymore, so I've learned that I have to be a lot more disciplined about when I set time. And I do, I'll set time aside. Like, I'm going to write today between 10 a.m. and 2. First, I'm going to go work out, and then I'm going to write, and then I'm going to go pick her up at school at 2, you know? And I found that it's changed my music. I think it's made it better.
Yeah, actually. Interesting. You know, because when you think about just, like, creativity, that so many times for a lot of people, you know, it's spontaneous. You know, it just happens, and you don't always have control over the time. You that know. Always intrigues me about, I mean, because that's how you see a lot of songwriters that do it for a job, you know?
Right, right.
They go and...
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, you don't always have... And, you know, when I say, like, I'm going to sit down and... Sometimes I may not come up with something brilliant between the hours of 10 and 2, but I may work on something. I may edit. I might, you know... I mean, because for me, a lot of times, the melodies and the lyrics come... They come like that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's more... That's spontaneous. That's when I'm driving.
Okay.
That's when I'm about to... I'm trying to fall asleep at night or...
Yeah.
You know, or 10 minutes before bed, I'm like, oh, I got to go do something, you know, and... I'll work on something for a little while, but I don't write like I... Back then, when I was younger, I would write all night long. It was like these... I'd burn it. And I think I would burn out that way. Okay. So now it's a lot more cool.
Yeah.
You know, I'll get an idea, and I'll go with it, but I won't let it consume me.
Do you write with other people?
I never have. I'd love to.
Yeah.
I would love to. That's one thing that I would really love to try... And you
know,
do.
Like in the band, let's say Bonsoir Catan.
Yeah, I've never written with them.
Does the band come together, though, where somebody brings a song in, and but you all throw in little, like, arrangement kind of things? Where?
Yeah, on some of the traditional stuff that we do.
Yeah.
The original material, I've kind of handled that, but I've never co-written anything, you know. Mm. And I really would like to. You know?
Yeah. I'm trying to think if...
Looking for the right person, if you're out there.
If you're on ChristyGallery.com, contact
her. Married white female looking for song collaborator. No, but you know, it's a touchy thing. I've asked musician friends, like, hey, let's try it. And it's... People get really personal about their stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And they get really sensitive about it. And I'm kind of to the point where I'm not so sensitive anymore. It's just kind of like... you know, it's hanging out, it's out there, it's good, it's not good.
Yeah.
Some days are better than others.
Is there consistently an easier part for you in terms of lyrics versus the melody?
Usually melody comes first. But I don't know if lyrics would be definitely more difficult. I think I've probably looked at lyrics more closely.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's just always a little bit more involved for me, you know.
Yeah. And then I'm curious, too, with writing French music and now doing what you're doing with this, with what you call, you know, kind of the American side, you know. When you write lyrics for the French music, do you write in French?
I do.
You do? Okay.
I do.
And the thoughts come to you...
In French.
Okay.
Yeah. And, I mean, I've been writing American music for about as long as I've been writing Cajun music. I didn't really create a public, you know, I didn't really go out there and put it out. I mean, except for when I was doing it in college.
Yeah.
But I never really pushed that, you know?
Yeah.
Just kind of doing my Cajun thing.
And Cal was Cal probably wasn't around to push you.
Exactly. I didn't have anybody. Yeah. You know, and it's a weird thing because for me, Cajun music is a traditional music. And so it's not always about It's not always about you. You know, it's not about the person playing it. Like, I can get up there and sing a song, you know, or I can sing a song that I've even written that's come from me. And most people don't look at it like, oh, Christy's expressing herself.
Sure,
you know?
Yeah.
So that's probably, I think that's why it took me so long to do that, because, or to release this stuff, because it didn't feel right. It just felt a little too self-indulgent, a little too, you know, especially coming from a traditional background.
Sure.
You know,
no, that makes sense.
And you're like, you know, look at me. These are my thoughts or my feelings. You know, I mean, really, you know? So I had a hard time with it, and I really had to sort of get over it, man.
That's right, because, of course, now you have me looking at each of these songs like, oh, wow, what's she thinking then?
What are you thinking?
We're going to listen to another cut. Which one are you feeling the most?
My feelings. And, you know, let me just say this, that I didn't... The newer stuff that I've written that's on Broken Glass, none of these songs are about me. You know, I think I've gotten to the point where I can create songs about characters.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, that's the best part.
Yeah.
You know.
Because it's also, when people are listening, it creates a great visual in your brain, too.
Yeah.
You know,
when I was writing when I was 19, they were all about me.
Yeah.
Everything was about me.
See, and then that's where the comment comes in. You were 19.
Yeah. And everything was about me. Even my hair color was all about me.
That's right.
But yeah.
Should we listen to the first cut, 12-Hour Drive?
Sure.
Yeah, let's put that one on, Cecil. Anything you can tell us about that song?
This song took me 2 years to write.
Ah.
Yeah, this is the first song I wrote after my 8-year hiatus. And I wrote the melody, and I wrote a set of lyrics that I didn't like, and I didn't know why I didn't like it until I had to not write it about me. And
so that's interesting.
Completely changed it, and then it flew out, and it's, you know, it's about somebody else.
All right. Let's listen to 12 Overdrive.
All right.
This is Christy Guillory, Midtown Project. All right, that was a 12-hour drive. Christy Guillory in the Midtown Project. Christy is the guest today here on The Exchange. If you are just joining us, this is KRVS 88.7 FM, a public service of the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, here at Cypress Lake Studios. Please check out the website, krvs.org. You can listen to a lot of great shows as they're going on, or if you have to check out a podcast, if you miss them or you're at work, don't have a chance to listen. And also a great way, we do have our springtime pledges coming up, our pledge week, and it's a short one during the spring. So please, you can wait till that week, or you can go on and pledge securely online, like I said, at krvs.org. We really appreciate all the support, and it really helps keeping a lot of the quality programs that you're listening to on this station. So as I said, Christy Guillory is our guest today in the studio. Now, both of those songs, you know, and there are two that I really wanted to play, and part of whatever kind of, you know, mood I'm in or whatever. But some pretty heavy guitar playing.
Yeah.
You know, on those.
Yeah.
Do you switch on to electric much at all?
Not on this record, no.
Okay.
I don't play like Brian.
How about when you're performing live? Do you play electric, or do you stick mostly with acoustic?
I'll stick with the acoustic. Yeah, I kind of pound the rhythm.
Yeah, he can play.
Oh man, he makes my songs really better.
Yeah,
he really does.
Well, and that's the nice thing about having really good musicians.
Yeah,
you know, they all add in.
And you know, the cool thing about Brian is he hears. You know, like I'll write a melody and a chord progression and lyrics and all this stuff, but I mean, all those counter melodies, that's all him. I mean, he comes up with these memorable guitar lines. I mean, I just think they're great.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you writing now?
Now
that this project is finished and you've got it out, are you still writing, or do you have to take time?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm writing a little bit. I mean, I've been really busy right now with other projects.
Yeah.
So I haven't, I'm not sitting down writing, you know, stuff for this. I just kind of came off of a couple of different things.
And when something comes to you.
Definitely, yeah, definitely.
And we do have to say, too, you know, some of the other things that you are working on during the day is that you are teaching two classes.
That's right.
Here at UL. You are teaching an accordion class, and that's through the Dr. Tommy Como Endowed Chair in Traditional Music through that program. Mm-hmm. And you're also teaching the Cajun and Zydeco Music History class.
Yes.
You know, and that's, I mean, talk about coming full circle.
No kidding.
You know, when you think about being this 13-year-old kid out there playing and kind of setting, you know, setting an example and setting a path for a lot of other younger people, and now how many years later, you know, you're teaching about it.
Yeah, especially the Cajun Zydeco history class. Barry Onsalay was one of my first heroes.
Yeah.
You know, I met him when I was very young, and I remember I was like, I want that job.
Ah,
you know, I was like, I want to do what he does.
Yeah.
So, to be able to take
and be
over.
Careful of what you put out there.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, to be able to get to teach that class, get to lead that class.
Yeah. When you think about teaching that class, what are some of the important things that you want the students to take out of there?
Yeah. I some of them come in with very little knowledge of the history of Cajun music, where it comes from.
Yeah.
So we stress that for probably half the semester, just like, you know, this is where, you know, the guys that you go out and dance to at the Rice Festival, this is where they got this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I try to give them an appreciation for older music.
Yeah.
You know, the base from which all this stuff comes from. And then from there, I kind of flip it on them and try to get them to be really open-minded about the new stuff, you know, that's out there, so they don't get stuck in that traditional mold, like it has to be played this way or it has to be done this way. So
yeah,
it's really great.
You know, and no offense to Steve Riley, but I was having a conversation probably a couple of weeks ago with a young person, and they were talking about some of the, as if not knowing how much more took place prior to Steve. Oh,
that's awesome.
And Steve's not even that old right now, but he's not a kid anymore, you know.
Amen.
But it's always interesting,
yeah,
getting people's perspective based on what age they are and if they haven't really paid attention to,
yeah,
things.
I mean, a lot of my kids, they're 19, they're probably 18, 19, 20.
Yeah.
They came in with, he was where they started in a, it's been really funny, like, to play them, like, you know, a Steve Riley song from the early 90s that, you know, we all know that it's an older song, and it's, their eyes are like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, when I play them some scratchy old 78, I'm like, well, this is, you know, this is the original version of this,
yeah,
tune.
Exactly.
It's really fun.
Now, in the accordion class that you're teaching, is that instructional, like beginning accordion?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
That's all beginning.
So that's all, people bring accordions to the class?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's that kind of class.
We start from scratch and, you know, try to learn some tunes by the end of the semester. And
yeah.
Most of it's just getting them, teaching them how to listen.
Yeah.
You know.
That's the Cajun and Zydeco music history class where you bring people in off and on?
Okay. I do.
Because, that, I mean, boy, a hands-on meeting some of the real people out there that are...
Yeah. One of my favorite days is we had a surprise guest that just walked in. It was D.L. Menard.
Oh, wow.
They were just like, what?
Yeah, and what a great...
You know, so, yeah, I mean, and it's all about getting people in there and getting these students to have a deep appreciation for their local culture. And
does 13-year-old Christy Guillory come into that class? Is she? I mean, because really, that was quite. And I'm going to go back to it. That was something when you came out.
Yeah, I we haven't really.
Do you teach yourself in that class?
I haven't really talked about me that much.
Yeah.
I have a hard time with that. But you know, I mean, luckily, Derek Landry. Who's a DJ on K-Ball. And
yeah.
Derek's in that class. He's taking this class, right?
Okay. Yeah,
he's taking it as a student. And so he always reminds them that...
He can remind who the instructor is up there.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's pretty funny. I mean, it is weird to separate myself. I mean, it's not weird. It's like I almost have to kind of separate myself and put on a teacher hat. And,
yeah.
You know. We got to.
Yeah. It's a nice... Like I said, it's great. It's kind of come full circle.
Yeah, you know,
it's
nice
that you're...
Full circle.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's right. I'm going to go back to the CD here for a minute. The song Red Dirt, Tall Pines. Now, that's the third cut on the CD. What's that song all about?
I wrote this song after a really good friend of mine, her mother was killed.
Mm.
And she was from the Oakdale area.
Okay.
You know, so I... kind of took their family history,
yeah,
and wrote it into song.
Oh,
and so
nice.
It started as kind of just like a story ballad.
Yeah. All right. Let's listen to this is Christy Guillory in the Midtown Project. This is Red Dirt, Tall Pines.
Bastard child, laughing with sweet mama just behind. With sweet mama just behind. My mother's grave, I do thee promise. With the good Lord by my side, by my last breath, I'll give you rapture. Far from red dirt and tall pines. Far from red dirt and tall pines. Away now, finally mother's love is mine. From far and wide, how long I've traveled back to my home to make amends. My mother clutched onto her Bible whilst I died by brother's hand. Whilst I died by brother's hand. My mother's grave, I do thee promise. With the good Lord by my side, by my last breath, I'll give you laughter. Far from red dirt and tall pines. Far from red dirt and tall pines. Ooh, ooh.
That was Red Dirt, Tall Pines with my guest, Christy Guillory. That was her band, Christy Guillory and the Midtown Project, off her new CD, Broken Glass. And I do want to encourage you to go to her website, Christy, and that's with an I, K-R-I-S-T-I, Guillory, G-U-I-L-L-O-R-Y.com. It's a great-looking website, too, by the way. But you can go there and... pretty easy to find out where you can get a CD from the website also. But I do want to let people know you are going to be performing this Friday night at the Feed and Seed here in downtown Lafayette. And that'll be probably get going about 8 o'clock.
Yeah, 8 o'clock. And then Rex Morrow is going to finish up the night.
All right. And your band will also be at Jazz Fest, as
we
you said, on May
5th. We will be at Jazz Fest.
If you are downtown, this Saturday is the second Saturday Downtown Lafayette Art Walk. Christy with her other band, Bonsoir Catan, they're going to be at Recycled Cycles playing for Art Walk. So yep. Go check them out there, too. I'm curious about your voice. And... is it anything that you have to pay attention to when you are singing this style of music versus when you are singing Cajun? Is there a difference that in what you do with your voice and how you project, how you sing?
I don't... the technique is the same.
Okay.
I think maybe... it always feels a little funny singing in English, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, so I feel like I have to enunciate things a little differently and make sure that people can understand what I'm saying.
Isn't that something?
It is something.
Yeah, singing it, I mean, you know, huh.
So it does, like my mouth isn't used to moving that way as much.
Versus when you're singing
when I'm singing in French,
so much.
Yeah, you know, that's just kind of, yeah, that just comes out really naturally to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean... They're both stories, you know. It's all about the story and delivering that.
Do you work on your voice? Because I know I was talking to you about the first song we listened to, Easter, about there was a lot of words pretty fast and not a lot of time for taking a breath. Mm-hmm. You know, is that something that you have to work on, or is that just kind of a natural part for you now with singing?
I don't really practice singing.
Yeah, with breath control. Or...
No, I do a lot of yoga.
Okay, yeah.
You know, and a lot of meditating, breathing.
Okay.
That's helped my breath control a lot.
I bet.
I mean, just in the past few years, I've noticed that being able to control my breath, or at least be aware of where it is.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
I used to do a lot of holding, hold my breath. And
Which is a natural thing that it seems like people, tend to do.
Yeah.
And those classes that you're taking, I just thought of that when we were listening to that song. I just can't imagine singing that many words with that few, taking that few breath, for that.
You just gotta let it go.
And it just becomes a part of what you do,
Yeah.
I guess like anything else. The CD, people can get it off your website. Is there any other places where
you can get it? Anywhere that it's available online.
You
can get it from my website. CD Baby is the, that's where you buy it from.
Yeah.
Or at the show Friday night.
Okay.
It'd be even better.
Yeah.
iTunes.
Because I noticed you also, it's a different thing. You also can download the MP3.
You can download the MP3.
You know, which is that's a whole nother way of doing business than how it used to be.
Any online market, it's out there, and then physical copies, it's through CD Baby.
And people still can get your original CD that you put out.
They can.
I mean, that still is available.
They'd still be impressed,
there,
I think.
You know? But I just think what a great history you've had thus far, and you're still very young. You know, you've got a ways to go yet with that. I also want to mention, too, because, sometimes it doesn't always get a mention, but the people who did record this, you said it was Chris Stafford, but Ivan Kucinich also worked on this.
Yeah,
CD.
He did. He did the mastering.
Okay. And that's it. And that was Chris' studio that he's got over, that's over in the warehouse area over there.
It's called Staffland.
Okay.
That's my new favorite place.
Okay.
I love it.
I want to encourage everybody to check out the CD, but check Christy out Friday night at the Feed and Seed. And again, the CD is called Broken Glass. I appreciate you coming on today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, we're going to go out listening to This Old House. And can you tell us a little bit about that song?
Yeah, I wrote this song for my grandfather. After he was... at the last couple weeks of his life, and he was in his 90s, and all he wanted to do was just go home.
Yeah.
But he couldn't go home because the home wasn't really in good enough shape for him to be alone in.
Yeah.
And it was out in Lake Charles, kind of in the sticks, he has 40 acres out there, but that was his place, So I thought a lot about what home, what does that mean? And, for all of us.
That's right.
Where do we want to be? And who? But it was mostly wrapped up into who was there. Mm. That's kind of what I realized. It was about the place, and it was about the sticks and the stones that built it, but it was mostly about the memories and the people that, that inhabited it that don't inhabit it anymore.
Exactly.
So it was kind of in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
For a little while. Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on today.
Thank you.
Again, the CD is Broken Glass. We're going to go out listening to This Old House with Christy Gilley. Have a good week.
This old house is falling down. I feel it tumbling to the ground. Broken glass and battered doors. No one comes through anymore.
of kids dressed bright and white and clean. Preston staring back at me. This house, it was a home. Now it barely sees a soul. Yours just comes and goes. This house, it was a home. Now it barely sees a soul.